Hey friends, let's go back to the 90s with our new book, Mixtape Theology, 90s Christian Edition. It's part devotional, part retrospective, and all awesome. Rediscover the wonder of songs like The Great Adventure and Jesus Freak as you uncover their spiritual significance. But you know, we couldn't just give you a book without some 90s Christian cheese. We've included some original comics and hilarious retrospectives. Michael Tate of Newsboys and DC Talk calls Mixtape Theology the ultimate nostalgic throwback, and Michael W. Smith calls it a great read. Mixtape Theology will have you falling in love with these songs and the gospel all over again. It's nostalgia served with a side of renewed faith, and it's available now at Amazon and Walmart.com. Now, back to the podcast. Hello, friends, and welcome back to this bonus episode of Mixtape Theology. If you're new here, my mixtape partner and pastor, Dr. Ashley, and I, we look at the theology behind our favorite 90s contemporary Christian music and poke fun at 90s Christian culture, at least just a little bit. I'm your host for this one, Rachel Cash. In our last episode, Dr. Ashley talked about the theology in Rebecca St. James's song, Psalm 139. As many of you know, that psalm is often recited when we are talking about the value of the unborn. So on this bonus episode, we're going to do something a little different than our normal format and talk specifically about ministry for the unborn and their families. In this episode, you will learn about one of our favorite ministries here at Mixtape called Speak for the Unborn. You'll hear from the executive director and find out how you can create a culture of life within your church family to serve moms and dads who might be seeking abortion. After you are done with this episode, I encourage you to continue to pray on what your next steps might be. So to help you do that in our classic mixtape theology style, we've created a Speak for the Unborn 90s CCM playlist on Spotify and Amazon Music, and this mixtape celebrates the sanctity of life, the hope of the gospel, and the call for the church to respond. And it, of course, features songs from 90s contemporary Christian music. Just follow the link in the description for this episode. And now, on to the interview. Hi, Laura Lynn.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. It's great to talk to you today.
Yeah, I'm excited to be able to shine a light on Speak for the Unborn and what you all are doing. So tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Speak for the Unborn.
Yeah. So my name is Laura Lynn Mueller. I've been the executive director of Speak for the Unborn since February 1st of 2019. I started with the ministry actually the year before that in 2018. I started with a development role and then took over as executive director in 2019. I have four kiddos under the age of six, and I've got two of them with me today, including my youngest, who is 4 months old. So you may hear some cooing and who knows what in the background. So apologize for that in advance. But I'm a mom of four. My husband and I live in Indianapolis, Indiana. We are members of Pennington Park Church here. And I have had a passion for pro-life ministry really for as long as I can remember. It's always been a big part of my family's evangelism and what they do just with sharing the gospel. Pro-life ministry has always been a part of that. And I've seen that exemplified very well through my parents and just the conversations that they've had with pro-choice family members. And so I started with just volunteering for pregnancy resource centers when I was in high school and doing the baby bottle campaigns and all of those things. And then just felt the Lord calling me to full-time pro-life ministry back in 2018 when I got started with the ministry. And so that's a little bit just about me. Okay, so Speak for the Unborn actually started through the ministry of a local church back in 2009. It started through Emmanuel Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky, and the pastor there, Ryan Fullerton, preached his first Sanctity of Life Sunday sermon that year, and the Lord just really used that in a big way. to just convict several people in the congregation to get more involved in pro-life ministry. And one of those people was a couple named Dave and Stacy Hare. And they just felt the Lord calling them to go to the local abortion clinic in Louisville just to show up and pray. And so they did that. They had several other members from Emmanuel join them in doing that. And they started going consistently. And over time, they just started kind of watching the process. And they saw that people would park in this parking lot across the street and that they would just walk along the sidewalk. They had kind of a long walk across the sidewalk, and then they had to walk across the street to go into the abortion clinic. And they thought, you know, we know and trust that the Lord can use prayer, but what if he could also use us actually talking to people and having conversations with them as they're walking into the abortion clinic? That's what they did. They started walking across the street to have conversations with people as they were walking into the abortion clinic. So as they got out of their cars, they would introduce themselves and then they would just walk alongside of them. They would offer them the resources through the local pregnancy resource center and through their local church. They would share the hope of the gospel with them, and then they would plead for the life of their son or their daughter. And the Lord started using that in really amazing ways to just cause people to turn away from the abortion clinics and to spare the life of their child. And so several other like-minded churches in the area started hearing about that and wanting to get more involved themselves. And so first of all, several different churches from Louisville joined in. But then in 2016, Southern Seminary did an article about Speak for the Unborn in their alumni magazine. And that's when several different churches, several different pastors, including Pastor Ashley, saw that article and called Andrew King, the executive director at the time, and just said, hey, how can we get involved in this? And that's when our perspective kind of shifted to a national approach of just bringing churches to abortion clinics across the country to share gospel hope and help. Yeah, so since that time that we started expanding to a more national approach, and now we actually have churches in Canada as well, we established as a 501c3. We have a board of directors and an advisory board, and we have a mission and vision. And that vision is that there will be churches championing life in every place where there's an abortion clinic in North America. And our mission is to train and equip like-minded churches to become voices for life and resources to families in their community. So we're essentially helping churches across North America to establish what was established right there in Louisville, starting with just the ministry of a couple people, and now has grown to 17 network churches across the country in multiple states and areas.
Great. And I think that's one of the huge distinctives of Speak for the Unborn, is that this ministry is really a congregation, a church ministry. This is not a ministry for lone rangers to do abortion work. It's how do you get your entire congregation involved in this work? How do you create the culture of life in your congregation? How do you train each other up to do this work? And I really have seen in our own congregation, because we're one of the network churches, that this ministry provides us with real-time discipleship, like in the field, in the trenches, doing the work. We're discipling each other in this. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of, but I hate that it exists. You know, I hate right. that this organization has to exist, but what a hope that we have in the gospel that we can, as a church, rise up together as brothers and sisters and face this together. I think that Speak for the Unborn really allows churches with an avenue to do that. What are some of the biggest things that the ministry is doing this year?
Yeah. So some big initiatives we've had. So our first big project over these last couple of years was to establish just a training in sidewalk counseling and pro-life ministry for churches. So in March of 2020, we launched our Voices for Life training, which is just a way for churches to get specifically involved in pro-life ministry and to be trained in sidewalk counseling. So what we're doing this year is we're expanding that that through a program called Youth Voices for Life, which we are very excited about. This program is specifically for church youth groups or student ministries groups, and it's going to educate them on the why and how of pro-life ministry. And it's just, it's a really important facet because somewhere around 70%, there was a recent survey that said around 70% of women who are walking into an abortion clinic claim to be Christians in some capacity, whether that's Protestant or Catholic. I think it's roughly like 41% claim to be Protestant or part of an evangelical church. And so essentially, we have to do something about this in our churches, and we need to address it as young as possible. And so that's what Youth Voices for Life is really seeking to do. It's going to help youth to understand what abortion is and what the Bible has to say about abortion, as well as just understanding the science about it and just how science even supports a pro-life view. And so all of those things working together to just make abortion unthinkable, especially for somebody who claims faith in Christ Jesus.
So I have personally been through the Voices for Life training as an adult. And we hosted in our little area in North Nashville a training for our own congregation, as well as we invited some people from other congregations to join in and do the training. And it's such a phenomenal and well done training. It equips you to be able to share the gospel within the context of abortion, but just how to share the gospel. And it's fantastic. It was so good. And in that training that we had with the adults, there was a lady there from one of the other churches who the Lord really spoke to her. And she shared with us that she was a post-abortive woman. And since this training, she has gone on to find a mentor and to also get training in another ministry called Save One. And now this lady is going to be equipped to help and train other women who are post-abortive. And it started with that adult Voices for Life training. So you never know like what is going on with the people around you and how God can use this. And her congregation is supporting her and discipling her in this. It's a beautiful thing. And if I could say one more thing, sorry, Laura Lynn, I also was present when our youth group piloted the Youth Voices for Life training. So my daughter is in the youth group. And so I sat in on all of the 6-week series teaching. And the series included the nuts and bolts of what abortion is, some of the main arguments. But just like the Voices for Life training, it included a very clear presentation of the gospel and how to explain that to others. And I'm so thankful that my daughter got to go through that training. And at the end of the training, one of the senior girls came up to me and said that she had no idea that this is what abortion really was. And she said that she had a friend at school that had had an abortion and she didn't realize it was such a big deal. But now, and these are her words, now I know the truth. Mm. And it's so important that our kids know this because they are the ones on the front line now. They are the ones on the sidewalk in their schools, talking to their friends. I was at the abortion clinic one day back when it was still open and I was standing on the sidewalk and a family member drives into the parking lot to bring her 14-year-old daughter, someone in my own family, a 14-year-old. Okay. So you can't assume that children these days don't need to be equipped to share the good news and the hope of the gospel in the context of abortion. They do. And so this training is equipped to do that. And so now our youth in our congregation are part of the culture of life that we're building and are going to be involved in what we're doing. And they're not isolated. They're being brought in and we're going to support them in what they're doing in their own personal networks. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a great, great, great ministry for your church to bring in. Mm-hmm. So how can Christians be involved in pro-life ministry in states like Tennessee, where abortion is now banned?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there are several different ways to still be involved. So first and foremost, I think it's really important for us to remember that even though abortions may be illegal in these places or, you know, severely reduced, whether it's just a heartbeat bill or whatever that is, regardless of the situation, there are still going to be women in your state that are seeking abortion. So then you have to kind of think through, okay, now what is the process going to be then if somebody from my state wants an abortion? Well, chances are they're going to go to someplace like a Planned Parenthood first and get confirmation of pregnancy, receive their options, receive funding from nonprofit organizations or individual donors to go out of state to get abortion. Some people are getting that through their jobs, et cetera. But many of them require going to a Planned Parenthood first for confirmation of pregnancy, and then they give them the out-of-state referral. So something that you can still do in these states is to go to the Planned Parenthood in your community and essentially sidewalk counsel, very similarly to what you do in a situation where, you know, she was going in that day for an abortion. And really the gift that we have in this situation is the gift of time, because she's not walking in there to get an abortion in that moment. She's going in there to perhaps see an ultrasound, to get confirmation of pregnancy, and to get that referral. So you not only have the opportunity to talk with her going in, but you can then talk with her coming out as well. And Lord willing, maybe even exchange phone numbers and continue that conversation to offer her support. So really, honestly, not a lot has changed as far as the impact that we can have, except that we are in fact given the gift of time. So sidewalk counseling is still very important. Even in states where the abortions aren't taking place right then and there. And then secondly, it's really important that we equip ourselves as Christians to have conversations about abortion with our family, acquaintances, friends, coworkers, because now that's really where this battle is going to pivot to, is those day-to-day individual conversations of, you know, just a coworker mentioning that they just found out that they're pregnant and they're not sure what they're going to do. Or, you know, we find out a relative like has a daughter, you know, that 14-year-old daughter, that kind of situation. So that's, you know, another conversation. So Christians just need to be equipped on, again, the why and how of pro-life ministry, and Speak for the Unborn helps churches to do that. In fact, we're working on even increasing and developing that program even more with how we're able to equip churches in that way. But having those conversations, being willing to have them first and foremost, and then knowing how to have them, particularly in a way that's centered around the gospel. So that's the second thing.
Yeah. And I think too, the churches like mine, we're forced to get outside of our walls and to actively seek out these, you know, fathers and mothers who might be thinking of abortion or needing help. We need to find ways to come alongside and help them. And so we've really had to be creative. We've had a lot of planning and strategy meetings of, well, we were able to find those moms on the sidewalk, but how can we find them now in our city? And how can we go after them and make sure that they know that they have help and hope and we are here for them? So that's also something that your churches will have to think about. But, you know, if you're just praying and seeking God and how you can be the gospel and hands and feet, you know, God is going to show you where to go and bring those people to you and give you ideas and how you can reach them. And so I'm confident that there's still tons of work to do, if not more, for those states where abortion is now banned. Just going to have to think more creatively and actively, you know, seek God and finding those avenues. How have you seen God at work through the ministry recently?
Yeah. So the biggest way we've seen God at work so far this year is actually in Richmond, Virginia. We've got two new network churches there currently, and we went there at the end of January to do an in-person training with them. And it was actually one of the largest trainings that we've ever had. And we were just really excited about that because Virginia is one of the more open abortion law states. They have, I believe, up to third trimester, not into third trimester, but legal up until then. With their abortion laws. And so a lot of believers have been really convicted and ready to get involved in that. And so we had churches who went through that training, and their very first day out on the sidewalk, I believe it was the following weekend, they got to see a baby saved, a life saved through just their faithfulness to show up. And they've continued to show up, and the Lord is definitely at work in their ministry. And I've just been so encouraged by that, of what the Lord is doing there. So that's been our biggest excitement this year, is just seeing them really rise up in Richmond. And of course, we're super excited about how the Lord has already been using Youth Voices for Life through the pilot program. And we're thrilled to see how He will continue to work in and through that. Our launch date as of right now is August 1st to get that out to the public. And so if you could just be praying for us in that, and the Lord will just start already preparing hearts of youth, the youth who will receive that in the days to come.
If someone wanted to become more involved with Speak for the Unborn, and they were wondering how they could get their church involved, what would be the next step?
So the next step is really just to reach out to us and let us know. You can send us an email at info@speakfortheunborn.com, or you can just very simply visit our website, speakfortheunborn.com. There's a contact form on our website that you can use to get in touch with us through that. But we'll just start the conversation with you. We'll give you a phone call. We'll hear a little bit more about your desires and just share with you a little bit more about the ministry. And then from there, the next step would be your church getting trained through the Voices for Life program. So those are kind of the initial steps as far as getting involved. Just reach out to us.
And one of the cool things too about being a part of Speak for the Unborn is the network of churches that is available to assist as churches are starting, or churches that are having challenges, other network churches can join in and assist. So for example, if you are talking with your pastor at your church and your pastor's not quite sure about doing sidewalk ministry or how the church could be involved, you know, there are pastors in our network who would be glad to talk pastor to pastor and give that unique perspective on what it is like to be a network church from a pastor's perspective. So people like Dr. Ashley, who is the pastor of my church, would be glad to talk to any prospective pastor. And there are others as well. So there's a network of people here to come alongside and help. So don't be afraid to just get the ball rolling, get started, reach out to Speak for the Unborn. You never know how God's going to use it.
Amen. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Well, Laura Lynn, thank you for joining me on this bonus episode, where we learned more about Speak for the Unborn. And the website for that is speakfortheunborn.com. People can find you there, learn more about your ministry, the people that are involved, the churches that are involved. Use that contact us form to get involved. And you can also donate right from that website. So if you feel like God is leading you to give to the Voices for Life or the Youth Voices for Life program, it will be used wisely to train others in this work. And here at Mixtape Theology, we have shirts that are for sale on our merch store, which you can find at mixtapetheology.com. And 100% of the Speak for the Unborn design gets donated to Speak for the Unborn. And then 25% of our profits from any other design do get donated to Speak for the Unborn. We love this ministry. We thank you for what you're doing, Laura Lynn. We hope that there are some of you out there that are feel like God is calling you to reach out to Speak for the Unborn. So until then, thank you everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. The Mixtape Theology Podcast is part of the NRT Podcast Network. Find more Christian music-related podcasts at newreleasetoday.com.